Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
CinemaSins has a fan club. It's called the Sin Club, and members get all sorts of things like early episodes, bonus videos, merch discounts, and even monthly bonus podcasts. Membership starts at $3 a month, and you can sign up now at patreon.com/CinemaSins.
I think the idea of Chris is adding IMDb trivia. He's like,
yeah, like I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but...
Welcome to SinCast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the SinCast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
And Aaron Dicer from CinemaSins.
Idly ho, Cinerinos.
And, you know, from TV Sins and all these other things that we have and the B team, quote unquote, and all this. I don't know. Is this the first time we've mini potted this configuration of people?
No, we did Greyhound.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just us for Greyhound.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we made the joke that we were going to think Barrett was supposed to be on it. But yeah, no, it was just the three of us.
Mm-hmm. Today we're doing a mini pod of Palm Springs, and a palmy pod. And basically, because you lovely people out there have been requesting it since the movie came out, I think 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago.
It's been a bit, yeah.
It's 3 weeks. It was the same weekend as Great. We just did Greyhound and Old Guard, and just didn't quite have enough time to fit a third one in. So
yeah, it was fun for me because I didn't read anything about this movie before watching it. I just heard people saying, hey, watch this. And so I had no idea what this movie was about. Let's get into it, I guess. It has Andy Samberg, and it has
Kristen Milioti.
It has Kristen Milioti in it. And why do I love Kristen Milioti so much? Why do I love her so much?
Like, I think I've only saw her in those two episodes of How I Met Your Mother. I think that's the only time I've... She's great.
That's what I'm saying. People first sort of became aware of her on How I Met Your Mother. And I fell in love with her then. And I think everybody who was watching that show at the time was like, oh yeah, perfect mother to have, perfect blah blah blah, this should be the one. And and then I saw her later in Wolf of Wall Street, mm-hmm. and then that great episode of Black Mirror, and it's just like every time I see her, I'm just like, man, I just love her so much. I don't know
great. There's an episode of an Apple TV Plus show that's about like a gaming company, and Mythic Quest, I think, is the name of the show. Great comedy, mm-hmm. really funny. I think you guys might like it. But there's a one-off bottle episode with her and Jake Johnson, who you may know from New Girl and some other things, and they are not in the rest of the season at all, and their story doesn't really play into the plot of the rest of the season at all. It's just kind of this weird one-off short film episode in the middle of the season, and it's the best thing about the show. It's almost like, I encourage people, just go watch that episode. The rest of the show is funny, but that episode is, it's just like this beautiful short film, and she's in that, and she's just spectacular.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like the funny version of when the League would do those Dirty Randy episodes or whatever they were called with Seth Rogen.
So I don't know if there's any way to talk about this in the non-spoilers without getting into what the basic premise is. Although I do think you will have a more amazing time watching this, not knowing going in.
100%. 100%.
Is there a way to discuss this?
Well, go ahead.
We tried on Sif Pop and failed spectacularly.
I have not watched the trailer. I would assume the trailer gives away that, you know, the kind of the driving spoilery plot point. The description, like the IMDb description, dances around it pretty well.
I'm going to say this. Why don't we, in non-spoilers, just say what we thought about it? And then we get into spoilers. We'll talk about this movie freely.
Sure.
I loved this movie. It's one of my favorites of the year. I'm going to give it a solid A.
Nice.
Yeah. I pretty much just repeat exactly what Chris says. I think I am now convinced. I've seen it three times now. And I am now convinced it is my favorite of 2020. I love this movie, and it's not quite an A+, but it's close. It's an A for me. I really enjoyed it.
Like this is like a repeat of the Greyhound review where you guys were like praising the fuck out of something. I'm like, I liked it. I liked this movie. I did. I liked it quite a bit. I laughed a lot. The last 30 minutes of this movie was a little hit or miss with me. I felt like this movie lost some steam for me personally. You know, kind of getting to that ending, which I actually did like the ending, I will say. But getting to that, I felt like it kind of maybe ran out of juice here and there. But I'm still giving it a B+. I really enjoyed it. I'm just not quite in A territory. I really like Sandberg, man. I don't typically like the slacker comic character. Like, that's never been really my thing. Like, I don't really care for like the Adam Sandler, Happy Madison comedies and. You know, I don't know. I'm just thinking of SNL people, but like Farley and Spade and just stuff like that. You know, so, but I do really like Sandberg. I think he's got something. I don't know what exactly it is. He's kind of underrated, right? Like he's been very successful, but I don't feel like people talk about him in the same comedy light as they do some of these, like I would take him over like Seth Rogen any day. Or, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody else. Kevin Hart, you know, I prefer him over Kevin Hart. I still think Popstar, I've just decided Popstar is just a fucking work of genius. And this apparently is for a lot of people. And then obviously Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Jake Peralta is probably one of my all-time favorite sitcom characters now.
He's definitely underrated. His work on Saturday Night Live was sort of, we laud him for the Lonely Island stuff on there, and rightfully so. That's where Saturday Night Live had its sort of its new. I don't know. It infused more life into that show.
Yeah. Became relative for the digital age for sure.
He did seem like yet another, just like, he's just kind of a goofball, but like there's it's hard to make intelligent, dumb stuff, which is what I think he does. The movie Hot Rod to me is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very funny movie.
I mean, Hot Rod is fantastic, and I remember a bunch of people just really down on that movie for some reason. I'm like, I mean, you know, I don't know what to say to you. It's as goofy fun as anything gets. Mm-hmm. I think he's definitely underrated. B+ for Jonathan. We'll discuss Jonathan's inability to feel in the spoilers, and that'll be a whole topic there. But let's go on to spoilers so we can talk freely about this movie.
No spoilers! Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's what? Father is actually Darth He's Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
So yeah, this is another take on Groundhog Day.
Yep.
And this is something I think I've discussed about movies like Happy Death Day and Russian Doll and all this. Like, it took forever for Groundhog Day to actually get emulated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's happening all over the place. And I think the problem is with Groundhog Day is it's such a unique premise that anybody who wanted to come out with something like that would instantly be like, oh, you're just doing Groundhog Day over mm-hmm. again. And what we're finding out now is that there's a lot of ways to tell this kind of repeat the day story and everything. And Palm Springs does something that I hadn't seen any of the others do. And that is, this has been going on for a long time
mm-hmm.
before the movie even starts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun for me because I did not know this was the premise. So I was sitting there watching it and watching Andy Samberg and a lot of the things that he does in that first scene in the wedding party. And, he makes that speech and he talks about how was it the bride gave her, kidney or something? I can't
spinal tap or something. Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. She donated something to somebody and everybody loves his speech. And you see people turning like, how does he know that and everything? And I thought it was funny because I didn't know that he had been living, the day over and over yeah. and over again. So I just thought it was funny because it just didn't make any sense that he knew that. But all that stuff in that first scene is done in such a way that it's just really entertaining, especially when you go back and realize, oh, okay, he knows everything.
Yeah, especially the dance where he's approaching her mm-hmm. to try to get her on the dance floor, and he's dancing like other people, and then he's like he pulls the chair out for that guy that's about to fall.
yeah.
And I had at some point, because once I had forgotten what it was about, because I had at some point heard the Groundhog Day reference. I think somebody made it on Twitter or something, but thankfully I had forgotten about it because yeah, like you, I was then like, oh, okay, that makes sense now. Like mm-hmm. I did, 'cause I just thought at first like, oh, that's just Samberg. He's funny and that's a cute scene.
Yeah.
But then you think back and you're like, that's amazing. But I'm with you. I like that. I'm shocked at how many good movies and TV shows we're getting out of this premise, though. Like, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I think Groundhog Day is still like the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the Jaws of, animal attack movies. But a lot of these movies that are emulating it are doing way better than the ones that emulate Jaws, let's say.
Right. I was sitting there thinking the same thing. The idea that, at some point there's going to be an emulation that's not good, right? But the premise itself is so fun in general
mm-hmm. yeah.
that it's hard to mess it up, I think. They all seem really good. But yeah, there'll be one day where they mess this up.
But the fact that they started on him being in like, who knows what day this is. I get the impression it's been like maybe even thousands of days or at least hundreds of days.
Well, there was a trivia thing that I read that the writer said in an interview that Andy Samberg's been doing this for 40 years in the movie.
Oh, wow.
That's how long it's been.
I like the idea of Chris is adding IMDb trivia. He's like,
yeah, like I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Aaron, say something.
Okay. I like that you mention how unique the time loop is here in that we start already into it for 40 years or whatever. It's also unique in the fact that it is something where eventually we end up with a dual time loop. Except it's a coordinated, it's a synchronized time loop, which is a really interesting idea in that it's not like they're acting independently in their own time loops. It's just this day loops for whoever goes through this cave, which mm-hmm. is a really interesting concept. And yeah. I think a very unique way to look at it. This is also unique in time loop movies in that it really wants to get into the science of it and not in a detailed like, we're going to explain it kind of way, but just that one of the characters, a Kristen Milioti's character, eventually decides to use her time to become a new, you know, whatever, a theoretical scientist and try to figure out a scientific way out of this,
which she does.
And that's that is also brand new to this. This is a movie saying, you know, not only are we going to do this, we're really going to, you know, science this stuff. So, yeah, it's I liked all that about this, how fresh and unique it all felt.
Like a lot of these, though, when the more you try to explain, though, sometimes the more questions you have. And this movie did a pretty good job of, I didn't really care. But one of the things I was curious about is where the hell that goat went. Because if it was successful, the goat should still be there on the day. But she said she couldn't find it.
No, I think there's an alternate universe thing going on at this point. Right. Because the goat did go on to another day, but it just happens to be that it's not in the same universe that they go to when they get knocked to the next day. Because I think this is what explains it. At the very end, in that end credit scene where J.K. Simmons shows up to the wedding party and talks to Andy Samberg, and Samberg doesn't know who he is. Simmons is on a different he's on the same one, but he's not on the same the 10th or something, I can't remember what day it was, but the wedding is on the 9th and then the next day is the 10th, I think
it is the 10th, because he makes that comment when the people come home, he's like, oh, I guess they were coming back on the 10th or the 11th or whatever it is.
Yeah. Right. And so J.K. Simmons comes back on that same 9th that he's always come to. And Samberg is a completely different dude, basically. Just like, he's the old before any of this happened, Andy Samberg. So I think it's an alternate universe thing going on.
The best way I heard it explained, and because originally I had some issues with, and these are just like, you know, like when you try to really think through stuff kind of issues, which I love to do, especially with time travel or in this case, time loop movies. I had a real problem with the Andy Samberg, J.K. Simmons thing at the end, because I'm like, well, that means we're looking at alternate timelines, alternate universes. And that means there's consequences for all their actions. You know, when they, you know, wreck into that semi, they killed an actual person in an actual timeline.
Right.
And there's
the Rick and Morty thing, right?
Well,
right.
And you start wondering, like, how many did he get people like pregnant?
Right. Oh, of course. Yeah. There's all sorts
there's
all sorts of consequences. So that initially I was thinking, but somebody explained it to me that it's quite possible that this cave goes to a singular alternate dimension that just repeats this day. And whoever goes to that dimension repeats this day. And so those people are really kind of, what are they called? NPCs or whatever, you know, in video games where, you know, those. So the Samberg we see at the end isn't really Andy Samberg. He's the Andy Samberg NPC of that universe that people who go through the cave go to. And so it's just that one stuck in time place that resets for everybody. So in other words, all those other people don't go on to another day either. They reset as well. They just don't know it because they're part of that construct or whatever.
The only thing about that scene that I thought was odd was that J.K. Simmons came to the wedding, because at that point, like, I didn't get the impression that he was even doing that, you know, anymore. So that just seemed kind of coincidental. But I mean, but it's a good moment in the movie. I mean, it could have been
a year or 4 years or 5 years of days later that he went to that movie and just like, hey, I'm going to go check in at the wedding and see what's going on.
That's what they totally dicked over J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, although I'm my guess is J.K. Simmons was perfectly fine doing something
that
required very little of him other than to show up in different costumes.
He's also really good in this. I mean, this is 98%, you know, Samberg and Milioti, or Milioti?
Yeah.
Okay. It's 90, or Andy and Kristen, let's do that. But there are some kind of fun supporting performances, but Simmons is definitely the best. I mean, there's other people in here like Tyler Hoechner, who's CW Superman currently. Veronica from Riverdale, who's an actress, I can't remember her name right now.
Camilla Mendez.
Meredith Hagner, who I knew, I recognized, but then I was looking at her IMDb and I couldn't figure out what it was from. But then I found out she was the oldest daughter on this FX series that was great and only lasted one season, called Lights Out, from 2011. So it was interesting seeing her like grown up, or, you know, 10 years later, 9 years later. But no, everybody in this movie, Peter Gallagher pops up in this, and it's a really nice supporting cast. But, you know, most of it obviously is going to be the two of them.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Yeah, I really love this, the Krista Milioti stuff where she's learning how to do all this. I have never heard a movie ever use Genesis the Brazilian during a during anything. This is a song that I've heard a billion times because I used to wear out the Invisible Touch album, and like when I heard that song, I was like, damn. What the hell is going on? I've never heard anybody use this.
When was it played? It was played during her little montage.
Yeah, it's when she's looking at the computer and all that. And it's that, you know, dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I remember.
That's something that Happy Death Day to You did, where you had the, you know, the main character going back, you know, kept dying, learning more stuff about the universe. Dying, and then by the time she got to the one of the final days, she was able to teach it to the people who were teaching her, and in this, Milioti has learned so much that she gets on a like a Skype call of some sort, and she's like asking questions, and the guy's like blah 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 blah, and she goes, well, what if you did, what if this is true, then why can't this be true? And he goes, well, I guess you don't really need my help.
Yeah, I did like that part, like when I was talking about it kind of losing steam, that I loved that, because that was just something that was, like you said, it was very unique. I had never seen something like that. I also thought it was, there was so many funny scenes. I love when they do the synchronized dancing in the bar. That just, I was dying.
Yeah.
It was like the montage of them doing different things on different days, and that was one that just killed me. They're just so good together. They had really, really good chemistry, and they were a lot of fun to just watch them go through all this together. I'm trying to think. This also movie, oddly enough, reminded me of Passengers.
Okay.
Because you get into like, okay, so he doesn't purposely bring her into this. In fact, he tells her, now, granted, mind you, he could have probably said a few more words like, seriously, do not come in here.
Don't come in here, your day will repeat over and over again.
I don't know that he can, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, that's the only thing I can even remotely think of. I mean, it's not his fault, so he's not choosing to like bring her into this,
right? Yeah,
But you still kind of have that dilemma like Passengers where, you know, Sandberg, I mean, he's been in there so long. He's gotten to the point where I just don't think he gives a shit anymore. And I think that's probably what would happen with most people. Mm-hmm. Or not with most people, but I think that would happen with somebody like the Sandberg character. But you find out, like, I mean, he's been, you know, just sleeping with people, mm-hmm. knowing that
everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, even even men, which was great. But then there's that confession moment where, yeah, what does he say? He's like, yeah, I was really glad I experienced that, especially with him. He was a really nice guy. She's like, did you ever sleep with my sister, the bride? He's like, no, but not for lack of trying. And then it shows that scene.
Yeah.
He's like, it was a big swing. But then he confesses because he tells Milioti at first that he's never hooked up with her.
Mm-hmm.
But then you find out he's actually hooked up with her several times.
Yeah.
And that was a weird. I mean, I kind of like that the movie went there because I thought that was interesting. I don't know that they do a ton with it after the fact.
I'm going to jump off what you're saying here because it is one of my favorite scenes. And this movie is so smart. And that's one of the things I love about it the most is how intelligent it is. And this movie layers in this incredible metaphor about marriage and about choosing to commit your life to one person and what that looks like and what that is. And it's very intentional. And you'll hear it in his final run-on sentence, which I love, where she gives him one sentence and he keeps doing like the run-on thing. ampersand.
Period.
Yeah, but she says something like, that's a grammatic mess of some sort by the end of it.
Yeah.
Emphatic period is just an exclamation point.
But the movie does this really incredible job of layering in this idea of, you know, what it means to be that open and honest with somebody, what it means to commit to somebody for life. And it uses that scene as a way to say, as to talk about transparency, as a way to say, you know, what if our relationship started and all I was interested is getting you into bed? Is, you know, how do we progress beyond that to a different place? How do we, you know, what does that hurts you? That hurts you severely, but how do we move past it? What does it mean to our relationship? And that was the main thing the second time I watched this movie that I really picked up on was how much it is not a mistake that this all takes place at a wedding, how much it is not a mistake that, you know, they're talking in many of their conversations about, you know, their long-term relationship and what commitment means to them. The fact that it's not a mistake that she wakes up every day after one of the worst decisions, you know, she's ever made and what that means to her.
That was a great touch.
Yeah, and a great reveal. And I was just really impressed with how smart this movie is about what it means and what it's trying to say. And that scene was kind of one of the important like cruxes to that. So I wanted to jump in off that.
I'll be like Bill Burr. You raised 6 or 7 great points that I can't refute.
He's not lying to her because he's trying to deceive her in any way at that first. That's the other thing about it that goes along with, you know, your marriage metaphor there is that he's not trying to deceive her. Like, you know, I don't want you to know this because I plan on doing something later with it. It's more that I want things to still be cool with us. Now that you are also in the same loop with me, you know, I don't want you to know that and have things be very weird and everything. Because he never thought that there would be a time where he would be sharing this time with somebody and everything.
Mm-hmm. Other than J.K. Simmons.
Yeah. And of course, J.K. Simmons is somewhere in Irvine most of the time. But the reveal part is also good. I think it's mainly because you're just invested in the relationship and everything. They, you know, Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti have that great perfect day where by the end of it they're in the tent and she's like, let's just get this over with, and they have that perfect night and you're like, oh, okay, so now things are happy. And then she wakes up to that same day and we find out then that she has been waking up and she had spent the night with her sister's soon to be husband and everything. And at first I was like, I don't know if I like this this idea that she can't deal with it. Like, why can't they just keep having the same day over and over again or whatever? But it totally makes sense, right? Because you want to have a happy, you want to have a happy life now with this person that you found and everything. But you don't want to keep on waking up to that same mistake over and over again after starting to feel good about yourself. And so at first I was like, no. And then by the end of it, you're like, yeah. That's how that had to go.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think the main thing here, and it might just be a personal thing with me with these types of movies, is I really, really, I'm so tired of the, they have a really happy moment and then they have to have like this awful moment that like breaks them apart for 30 minutes. That's like, it just feels like that's just like such a, this movie was not falling into like romantic comedy traps. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, that disappointed me a little bit. And maybe that's what took me from like an A minus to a B plus, you know? So
but
like
it's I'm saying, it's also a weird thing though, right? Like most of the time romantic comedies don't earn that, that split up. And in this one it does. And unfortunately a whole bunch of lesser movies have done it before.
Yeah.
And so, maybe. So now we get to this point in this movie and we're like, oh shit, now here we go again. But it's like in almost every other romantic comedy that you can name, the two leads split up for something really stupid. Like, the guy told the tiniest of lies or something like that. And it built to this big thing. And
yeah.
And like, why didn't you tell me this before? Or just some random thing happens that breaks them up. And then you're just like, okay, we got to have some conflict in this, even though they're whatever, but this one makes more sense. I think
that's where we're different, where I'm differing from the two of you though. I think I'm on the fence about whether this was necessary. And the main thing is you get this great thing with the Milioti character going off and trying to figure out how to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, the waking up every morning in her sister's fiance's soon to be husband's bed is kind of the driving force there. But the stuff with Sandberg though, during that, is not that interesting, and it's not funny. I mean, that's where I started kind of losing. I thought the movie lost a little steam, because I think the stuff with Sandberg and that, where he's just desperately trying to figure out what happened to her, and I'm still trying to figure out why it was so hard for him to find her. But regardless,
because she wakes up before him. I mean, that's the primary reason. She has a head start.
Yeah, I guess, and she might go to another town or something.
And she's all, he doesn't know the secret for the longest time either.
True.
Like, he doesn't know that she's waking up in his room. So, then when he does find out, then I think she just wakes up earlier as a... The whole movie is him waking up because his girlfriend, Misty, keeps saying, wake up, and she's shaving her legs and... all that. And you know, that's the only reason why he wakes up. So
by the way, other funny moments, that routine every now and then changing up where, you know, she accuses him of cheating on her and then he throws it back in her face. And then the moment where he's saying everything she's saying.
Yeah. I love that a lot. And then at one point where he's like, we should break up. And she's like, no, we can't break up. Like, but you hate me. And she goes, yeah, but I don't think that means we should break up. And then she's like, no, I don't, nobody breaks up with me. I will break up with you, you know? And Andy Samberg's like, doesn't care. He's already halfway out the door.
Well, I like how much Milioti doesn't even care there at the beginning, man. She's just barging in there and grabbing him out of the bed and taking him and just doesn't give a shit. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really love also in this movie the idea of how it transitions through the usual cliches that have developed in time loop movies. Like, for instance, there's a part where Sandberg puts his head down on the car and it's like, I guess we're going through this part of your journey right now, where it's like, okay, we're going through the suicide part now. You don't have to do this. We can just move on. That kind of thing really made me laugh, because it's kind of meta in a way, but it's also, you know, because we, the viewer, have seen that so many times, you know, it's kind of a new way to approach it. You've got a guide. You know, since when in a time loop movie do you have, you know, a guy? I guess maybe in, in whatever the title of that movie is now, A Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah,
Edge of
Tomorrow.
He has a little bit of a guide because she's been there before, but they're not experiencing it together. So she's not, you know, kind of walking him through it as it's happening in that in the same way.
I forgot about Edge of Tomorrow. There's another fucking
movie. I mean, that was another one that when I was giving examples, it should have been the first thing that I said, and I ended up...
I don't know. Happy Death Day is definitely the one that pops in my head always for whatever reason. Edge of Tomorrow is a better movie, but
well, I think Edge of Tomorrow, like as much as it does that repeat thing, everything it advances the story enough so that it's not the same thing over and over and over again. Although I guess I don't know. Groundhog Day does have some. I should have mentioned that right off the bat. That movie. I don't know why I didn't, but.
Well, I'm just saying every single one of them has had a suicide montage, you know, like that's like a staple of the time loop, you know, genre. And just for it to kind of do a little tweak on that, that's the kind of stuff that I really thought was.
Yeah, just him simply saying I've committed suicide many, many times. That's enough. Mm-hmm. That's all you need. You don't need to see it.
Well, and bringing up the fact that pain is still a thing and you don't want to die slowly in the ICU and all that.
Which would you really choose an arrow? Like how doesn't J.K. Simmons, when he's like standing in the trash can, you remember this death where he's like, just, you know, shoot me and get him. Doesn't he shoot him with an arrow?
He does. He does.
Like there's a million different ways you would have him kill you other than an arrow to the chest.
Yeah. I mentioned this. I was working on a script for something. I can't remember if it's a movie that's come out yet, but I mentioned this in our Slack channel. I was just like, what is it with arrows? Because and it seems like most of the time, like people just get hit like in the shoulder or something and then they die. I'm like, do arrows really, they don't kill you that quickly, do they? Like maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I guess if it goes straight through your heart, you're going to die pretty quickly.
It's just one of those where it depends where it hits. If it hits an art, like one of these major arteries, then you're done. And
I did have questions about that scene though. So like J.K. Simmons murders somebody on the side of his house.
And it was established that your day keeps going afterwards until the end of your day. So yes, he's got a body to dispose of in his day there, but it doesn't really matter, does it?
No.
Like, you know, he could have gotten arrested for that and then he's just going to wake up the next day. Everything's going to be reset.
I mean, he only has to hide the body for a day or the rest of the day. Yeah. He doesn't have to hide it for long.
That's a pretty great moment too, though, where it's not as like, them actually kind of confronting each other in a different type of setting was interesting. And like, you know, just, I don't know. That was a really nice moment. J.K. Simmons, like, my son's over there watering dog shit.
he's like, that's weird, isn't it? Or something.
But again, that scene goes back to what I love about this movie, because he's taking advice from somebody who is in a situation where he's found a way to enjoy his time loop. And that's kind of the idea of, marriage is a time loop. I think that's what this movie is saying, is when you commit your life to somebody, it's going to feel like a series of time loops sometimes. Like you're just living the same day over and over again. And, you know, and how do you change that up? How do you make that different? And, you know, finding peace with it.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, you know? I mean,
and that's what the J.K. Simmons character realizes is, you know what? It doesn't have to be a bad thing to be stuck in this time loop. I can enjoy these people in this way. And so, I think that's all intentional.
And you think about, as a father, Aaron, you think about how many times you've been, of course you've gone through it four times, so you might not care anymore, but you think about how many times you're just like, oh, I can't believe, you know, like my daughter, when I sent that picture the other day of her in that sweatshirt, like I just looked at that picture, like, God, she looks old, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And, you're just like, you know, you start thinking about when she was younger and, you know, so I get it. Yeah. I think that's a valid point to bring up in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, anything else to talk about on this movie? I think we all liked it, some more than others.
That shitty B+.
That's exactly,
such a shitty grade. And I will definitely rewatch this. I'm definitely gonna watch it with my wife because I think she'd really enjoy it. She's like Andy Samberg too, and
you've got the added benefit of it's just a really funny movie. So
yeah, exactly. I definitely stuff,
like it's fun to rewatch.
Absolutely. Like I definitely laughed a lot. So nothing wrong with that. And I think there's a little more to it, obviously, than your average type Groundhog Day type movie, which we've brought up. So it's 100% worth a watch.
All right. So what did you guys think about this movie? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We're on Discord. We're on SoundCloud. If you want to get on the Discord, you can go to our Reddit page, go to the link on the right side of the page and find one there, or you can go and private message me on Facebook and I can give you a link there. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, at SamLoomis13. I also do a podcast every week with the Mr. Aaron Dicer over here and Mrs. Danae Hughes, and it is called Behind the Scenes.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
That is right.
You know, I was going to say, if speaking of Discord, if you hop on Discord and you have thoughts on this movie in the Sincast channel on the Discord chat, I'm pretty active there. I'd be more than happy to talk about this movie with you. Chris is also pops in there if you mm-hmm. tag him. So yeah, we're accessible to chat about movies and stuff on our Discord.
I'm not in there as much as I would like to be, but if you tag me, I'll definitely get the notification and I'll jump
on. The main thing, right? You really do need to be tagged because there's so many different things going on at once and in Discord. So you gotta know where you're being directed. But that's gonna do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson, Jonathan Watkins, and Aaron Dicer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.